The word dimension emerges from darkness and fills with blue light. The word films appears underneath it, the logo of Dimension Films. A sweeping view across water to a city at night. The lights of the city gradually fade out to leave the legend Miramax Films. A large black basketball player, Shaq, opens his eyes and pulls his face up out of a bowl of water. Disorientated, he looks around a darkened changing room. As he straightens up, he bangs his head on a pipe. Oh. Then the ceiling. Oh. He looks down and sees his left ankle is chained to the wall.
Help! Help! Am I dead?
You're not dead. You've been taken against your will.
Kobe? Who is that?
The lights come on and he sees a middle-aged white guy sitting by the urinals.
Dr. Phil? What the hell's going on?
I don't know. I was doing a show on teens with abandonment issues and suddenly I woke up here. Man, those kids are gonna be pissed.
On a TV.
Hello, gentlemen. You don't know me, but I know you. You both play games with other people for a living. But today, you play a game for your lives. Right now, you are both breathing in a deadly nerve gas. You have 120 seconds to reach the antidote, or you die.
Oh my God, how are we gonna get out of here?
Let the game begin.
Shaq spots a saw hanging up.
There!
Two saws are hanging from chains linked to a basketball hoop.
Hit the metal arm with something. There!
Shaq picks up a large piece of concrete and stands up. He throws it at the basketball hoop. It bounces off the back plate and knocks a pipe loose, which hits Dr. Phil in the head.
Damn it! Sorry.
Shaquille, I'm not angry at you, but we are 1 minute away from death. Just shut out the no voice. Own your success.
Shaq has another go. The concrete bounces off the back plate and knocks down a light fitting, which then hits Dr. Phil.
Just make the damn basket!
He dodges a flying toilet pan.
What the hell was that for?
You hurt my feelings.
Your feelings? To hell with your feelings! Everybody with their feelings! I'm obese! My kids are bred! Help me! Help me! Just shut up! Why can't I fix anyone? I'm so dumb and worthless! Mama was right!
Hey! Pull yourself together! You're a brilliant doctor.
Not exactly.
What?
I just tell people to get real. I'm not even a psychologist. I'm an electrician. I failed you, Shaq. I failed you.
Shaq throws the concrete again. This time it goes through the hoop, hitting a lever which releases the saws. Shaq and Dr. Phil saw at their chains.
30 seconds left!
Ah! This will never work!
Of course, he wants us to cut through our feet!
You go first.
Bullshit!
Yeah, you're probably not man enough. I guess your mama was right.
Shaq grins.
Never! Who's the coward now, mama?
Candy from a baby.
Dr. Phil saws his foot off.
Oh my God! I did it! We're saved! What's wrong?
Wrong foot.
Dr. Phil's intact foot is still chained to the wall.
Mother!
Dr. Phil keels over. His severed leg crossed over his intact leg makes the four of the title Scary Movie 4. Some strands of microscopic DNA.
No one believed, in the early years of the 21st century, that our world was being watched, the way a man with a microscope might scrutinize the creatures in a drop of water.
I like big butts and I cannot lie.
Three microscopic protozoa chase after a fourth protozoa with the aforementioned big butt and a good-sized pair of norks. As another protozoa scratches on a record deck, others flap their tits and waggle their backsides. All this activity is taking place on the crotch of a bloke on a park bench.
Yet across the gulf of space, a terrible evil prepared to unleash itself upon an unsuspecting human race.
A man in his early 40s steps out onto the balcony of a tower block and dreamily looks down at the massive drop. A blonde bimbo sits up in bed in the room behind him.
You're up early. Come back to bed.
Another blonde sits up.
Come on.
A third sits up.
Please.
Looking troubled, the man, Logan, steps back into the apartment and picks up a photo. In it, he's pictured beside a middle-aged woman. There's a spectral face in the curtains behind the woman. Logan puts the photo down and prepares to slit his wrist as Cindy, a blonde woman in her 20s, comes into the apartment.
Hello? Hello? Tom!
She hugs him.
I know, you missed me. Oh, I missed you too. God, you look great. I wanted to come by to thank you for setting up that job interview for me.
This isn't a good time.
I just need something to keep me busy now that Cody's out of the house. He just turned 11. I enrolled him in military school last year. It's supposed to be a great program. Boy, kids, you know, they just grow up so fast. So I heard that you were dating again. Knowing you, I bet she's brainy.
Quixotic.
90 points! Woo!
The bimbos have a pillow fight.
You know, your work with the elderly really inspired me, Tom. I mean, they have so much to teach us, and we have so much to teach them. You know, ultimately, they really are just like us, only older. Anyway, I'm hoping that a new career will help keep my mind off of bad memories. I'm sure you have memories, too. He's the kind of person you never forget. Sometimes I wake up in the middle of the night wondering where he is, and then I remember. I know you miss him too, but it's really been hardest on me.
Logan takes an overdose of Viagra and gets a massive erection.
Well, up inside you and burst out. The harder you try, the harder it all gets.
Logan's huge boner sweeps crockery off a table as he turns round. He whacks at his knob with a rolled up newspaper. A cat jumps up and sinks its claws into the mighty knob.
And then what do you say to yourself?
Jesus!
Yes, you can turn to religion or family or friends, but in the end, you're still in agony.
Logan throws the cat out of the window.
I'm just so in tune with everyone's emotions. I guess I've always had a knack for being...
Logan throws himself off the balcony after the cat. Cindy runs out and sees him on the concrete below. Passers-by see his knob is stuck in the tarmac like a dart. The camera sweeps past Cindy while she's still doing her shocked acting. She moves to make sure she's still in the shot. Tom Ryan, a man of about 30, sits in the cab of a New York dockside crane moving a freight container.
Ryan, go home. You've been working 16 straight hours.
Come on, I need the overtime. Don't worry, okay? Wide.
He nods off and his container hits another, making it shed its load.
Ryan! What are you doing?
He jolts and his container cracks open another.
That was gold bullion!
Ryan drops his own container.
Oh, not the monkeys!
Tom wakes up and leaves his crane cab. The monkeys escape onto the dock. As Tom climbs down from his crane, his foreman comes after him.
Damn it, Tom! What the hell happened back there?
Come on, man. That could have happened to anyone.
Oh, yeah? You know what your problem is? As soon as the going gets tough, you give up.
You're right. I quit.
You don't get it, do you? You could be the best. If only you'd see things through.
I don't know.
Give me a break.
What can I tell you, Ed? Guess I'm no good. Maybe I just don't have what it takes.
What are you talking about? You secured that tricky H-500 unit, didn't you? Oh,
come on, that was easy.
As Tom walks off, an H-500 container falls on the foreman. Later, Tom's in a bar. A barmaid serves him a drink.
Tom Ryan. Haven't seen you in a while.
And while I spend every waking minute of my life operating a crane.
God, I hate my job.
He plays a crane grab game machine to relax.
Yo, Tom! Where you been?
Mahalo.
Yo, CJ, this is my boy Tom Ryan, man. We used to work together down at the docks.
Yeah, hey.
Hey, Tom. How's the family, man?
You remember Marilyn?
Lovely wife. How could I forget?
She dumped me.
Yeah, I know. I slept with her a few times.
What?
Me too.
You guys talking about Marilyn?
Mm-hmm.
Great lay.
My pops introduced me to her.
Ever since the divorce, it's like my life has no purpose. Half the time, I walk around feeling like a zombie.
Yo, don't joke about zombies. That shit there, that's real.
Yo, you know LaShonda on 120th Street?
Yeah.
She told me that she heard a zombie going through her trash the other day. The next morning, she turned up missing.
What? Okay, back up. How the hell do you turn up missing?
Because nobody knows where you are when they realize you ain't there.
Guys, I'm trying to ask
you. Okay, whoa. So you telling me that you can appear and disappear at the same time?
No, man, you can't appear and disappear at the same time. The bitch ain't David Copperfield.
Guys.
No. But you can't be gone from one place and show up somewhere else entirely. So when you turn up, you're never missing. And when you're missing, you never turn up.
Unless you a zombie.
Damn! Hey, that's some plausible shit right there. You should blog about that.
I'm gonna put that on MySpace.
You do it then.
Boom. Hey, Tom, you know what you need to do, man? You need to get away from all this. You need to take a break.
I don't know.
No, he's right, man. You just come fishing with us one weekend. Me and Mahalo, we found this great spot last summer.
Yeah, great spot.
Now dressed as a cowboy, CJ is cooking on a campfire. Mahalik sticks his dreadlocked head out from a tent.
Hey, you cold?
Little bit.
Mahalik disappears back inside the tent. A bit later, CJ joins Mahalik in the tent and lies down beside him.
Hey.
Hmm?
Look, man, I'm not on the down low or nothing, all right?
Oh, that's cool, man. Me neither.
Mahalik reaches his arm around CJ.
Hey, what you doing?
Relax, man. I'm just trying to grab some nuts.
Mahalik picks a packet of peanuts up from beside CJ's crotch. CJ looks relieved and reaches over Mahalik.
CJ? What are you doing?
I just want to eat some peanuts.
Huh?
See? Peanuts.
He picks up a bag of peanuts from beside Mahalik's crotch. Mahalik looks like something's on his mind. He begins to sing.
I've been alone with you inside my mind. And in my dreams I've kissed your lips 1,000 times.
CJ.
I sometimes see you pass outside my door.
They sit up.
Hello, is it me you're looking for?
I can see it in your eyes.
I can see it in your smile.
They undress.
You're all I ever wanted.
And my arms are open wide.
'Cause you know just what to say. And you know just what to do.
Ooh, baby.
And I want to tell you so much.
Vaseline baby oil in a car battery.
I love you.
The tent shakes. Back in the bar, Tom looks shocked.
Yeah. We caught a lot of fish.
Yeah. Black cod.
Tom goes.
Damn.
Tom, I don't want you thinking that. Hopefully this doesn't affect your opinion. Why would you do that? And that's my first time meeting him.
CJ glares at Mahalik. Tom power slides a Ford Mustang around a couple of corners and parks outside a house. A woman is waiting for him beside an SUV.
Late again, Tom.
Hey, Marilyn.
I thought you were moving.
Well, that's all I can afford right now. You took everything in the divorce except my name.
No, actually, the judge granted me that yesterday. You're now officially known as Horace P. McTitties.
I'm sure your new husband is pleased.
He's a good man. A provider, unlike you. He never cared about our children.
Hey, that's not true. I'm a great dad. Kids!
Dad?
Tom double takes at the Chinese twin girls in front of him as his daughter and son get out of the SUV.
Hi, Dad.
Hey, Rachel. How's it going there, princess?
His son tries the door.
It's locked.
He kicks it down.
Hey, let me help you with that, Muffin.
I should do that.
Oh, no, it's no problem.
Oh, I honestly don't mind.
Well, neither do I.
Fine, you take it. Well, I'll see you on Tuesday.
Hey, Marilyn. It's a good look for you, being pregnant.
I'm not pregnant.
I didn't mean to. I'm sorry.
If you want to make things right, maybe you should start with our kids.
You're right. Those kids are all I have in this world. Well, the kids. In my car.
He accidentally slams Rachel's head in the door.
Mr. Koji, looks like we need someone new for the Morris account.
Again? Every day we don't have someone looking after this woman, I lose big money. What happened to last girl?
Yoko, take a look.
Her jaw's missing.
Holy shit! Someone put a towel under her or something. Nice.
It's the Norris house, Mr. Koji. They say it's cursed.
Yeah, no such thing as a curse. Don't be ridiculous. All it's just old wise tales. I need someone there today or I'm in big trouble.
Cindy.
Hello? I'm Cindy Campbell. I'm looking for a job in home health care. I was recommended by a family friend, but unfortunately he committed... Oh, my God!
Yoko.
Don't mind her. She slipped and fall. You're my new best employee. Ready to start today?
Oh, it's so fast. I don't know.
Oh, trust me. You're going to love this job. Come on, I'll show you. We can be there in 10 minutes.
An employee uses Yoko's head as a stapler. Oriental Mr. Koji leads Cindy up to an equally oriental yet rather more spooky house. She looks around uneasily.
Come! Come!
He steps inside and the door shuts behind him. Cindy hurries over to the door, opens it and goes inside. She looks around the hall. There's no sign of Mr. Koji.
Mr. Koji?
She looks up at a room upstairs.
Hello?
She looks around the living room. Hearing noises from behind a door, she opens it and a hand grabs her foot. Lying on the floor is the middle-aged woman who was in the photo with Logan.
Oh, oh my God! Okay. Let's get you up in bed.
The woman bangs her head.
Here we go. Oh, I'm sorry.
There you are. I see you met Mrs. Norris. She catatonic.
Yes, I was just trying to get her back up on the bed. I was afraid that she would be hurt. You know, when I came in, I just saw her lying here on the floor.
Of course, of course. I help. You grab her legs, I grab her arms.
Miss Norris, I'm here to take care of you. Yes, I'm very happy to meet you, too.
See, this job perfect for you. Let me show you the rest of the house. Right this way. So, what do you think?
I don't know. There's something... strange about this house. Presence.
Presence? Don't be silly. Nothing wrong with this house.
It's funny. I always dreamt I would live in a house like this with my husband. But I guess that's all just in the...
Koji tries to hide a hairy ghost.
Past.
Who wants to see upstairs? It's a nice neighborhood, close to schools and shopping. The hardwood floors throughout pass almost every inspection.
Cindy looks out of the window and sees Tom in his garden next door apparently chopping logs. On closer inspection, she sees he's actually chopping Duraflame fuel bricks.
And in here is the bathroom. Very big, very...
The bath's full. He hides it.
Nice.
It is nice. It seems like it'd be a great place to work. But I just can't shake this feeling of evil.
Evil? That crazy talk!
Cindy finds photos of a man with a ghostly woman in all of them.
Do you know anything about the people who used to live here?
People? No, nothing about people. I don't remember anything.
Mr. Koji, did something strange happen in this house?
Strange? Don't be silly. This house is perfectly normal.
I'm sure you're right. And yet, it's as if someone's watching us.
A ghostly boy surfaces in the bath.
Mr. Koji?
That was me! Just excited about hiring you! Very, very enthusiastic! Be off the medical! And 2 weeks, pay vacation! I'm hoping you can start today! Maybe get in a whole week! You put in for this job! It's a wonderful opportunity for you!
Mr. Koji, is there something you're not telling me about this?
She finds Mr. Koji sitting in the bathtub of murky water, presumably holding the child under.
I was... dirty. So... The job...
I'll take it.
As Cindy goes, the boy pops up and Mr. Koji whacks him with a plunger. Tom.
Get your glove. I'm in the backyard. Robbie, come on. Let's go.
That's not how you're going to get through to him.
Look, Rach, this is guy stuff. You got to trust me.
Robbie comes outside.
All right, Robbie. You ready for the Tom Ryan Express?
Robbie puts on his catcher's mitt and Tom does a pathetic girly throw which falls short. Robbie picks the ball up.
Yeah, maybe one day I can grow up to be just like you.
All right. I know I let you kids down, but you have no idea how hard it is to be a father.
But when you start, let me know.
Tom throws the ball hard. Robbie dodges it and it hits Cindy on the head as she takes trash out next door. He runs over to her.
You okay?
My eyes! My eyes!
He pulls a piece of plastic off her face.
Better.
so sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I've taken balls to the face before. Hi, I'm Cindy Campbell, your new neighbor.
Oh, I'm Tom Ryan. You live here all by yourself?
Well, I'm taking care of Mrs. Norris, but yes, for the first time in my life, I'm on my own.
I know that feeling. Wasn't always that way.
No.
You thought you'd found your soulmate.
Yes.
And then one day you come home and find your so-called soulmate in bed with a complete stranger. Well, not a complete stranger. Sammy Sosa. Sound familiar?
No, not at all. But I do know what it's like to be in that much pain, and the worst part is that you have to suffer through it.
Alone?
It looks like we have a lot in
common.
We're already finishing each other's
dinner.
Her face falls.
Sentences.
Well, maybe all we really need is a friend.
I'd like that. Well, I better get back to Mrs. Norris. It's time to put her catheter in, and then after that I've got to scrub between her fat folds. And I've got to lance her boils. Got to open her up, and then I'm...
Tom stares transfixed as Cindy explains what she has to do to Mrs. Norris in great detail. She mimes working three fingers up an orifice, then getting her little finger in somewhere tight and removing a lump of matter. Next, she demonstrates how she'll be shaving Mrs. Norris with a cutthroat razor, then how she'll use a speculum to expand another part of Mrs. Norris's anatomy and scrape something out. Next, an implement will be used to remove something from her nose. A spaghetti spoon will be employed, and finally, Mrs. Norris will be stapled back together.
Mop up the drool.
That's wonderful.
I'll see you around?
Definitely.
Okay. An enema.
Okay, Mrs. Norris. Time to dig out that duty bubble.
That night, Cindy's taking a shower. As she rinses her hair, she feels a hand clutching at the back of her scalp. She spins around, but finding no one, goes back to soaping herself. The green spectral hand passes her a flannel. Cindy picks up a razor and shaves her left armpit. Then the hand shaves her right. As the hand reaches over her shoulder, she slaps it. Cindy steps into the hall in her dressing gown. Up on the landing, the ghostly boy appears. Cindy looks up and watches open-mouthed as the boy jerkily crawls down the stairs, then rolls uncontrollably down the last few steps and bounces into the living room. Cindy goes in to look for the boy, but there's no sign of him. Later, Cindy carries a bowl of water out to Mrs. Norris, who sits in an open doorway looking out into the garden. As Cindy puts the bowl down, a shadow moves across a partition screen behind her.
Mrs. Norris? Have you noticed anything strange about this house? No? Oh, you're probably right. Guess I'm just being silly. Just relax. Here we go. Okay. Oh, you poor thing. You don't have to be scared. I'm here to take care of you. No, I think you and I are going to be wonderful friends. I do. That's right. Just relax. Let's get in those ears. Okay.
Cindy sponges Mrs. Norris down, having mistakenly rinsed the sponge out in the old lady's bedpan.
Okay. You love this, don't you? Nice, warm. Feels good, doesn't it?
Oh, my God!
Seeing her mistake... Cindy gets the garden hose. The high-pressure water knocks Mrs. Norris over backwards. Hearing a noise from upstairs, Cindy runs off to investigate. The flailing hose whacks Mrs. Norris in the face. Cindy goes into a room upstairs and opens a large built-in wardrobe from which the noises seem to emanate. She gets into the wardrobe and flips open a lighter. By its flame, she sees a hatch to the attic above her. Cindy stands up in the wardrobe and her upper body emerges into the attic. She looks around and breaks down some cobwebs. Behind the cobwebs, she finds a framed picture of a cobweb. Sensing something, she looks behind her and comes face to face with the ghost boy. The boy screams because his hand is over Cindy's lighter flame. Cindy drops down into the wardrobe for a moment, then, having gathered her wits, pops back up again. There's no sign of the boy. The next morning, Tom runs into his back garden.
Robbie! Come on! Let's toss the old pigskin!
From a window, Robbie mouths, "Arsehole." Tom throws the ball and it hits Cindy in the face as she walks in her garden.
So sorry. I didn't see you there. You all right?
It's okay. My throat cushioned the blow.
Thank God. I lost my temper. My son... What's wrong? You look scared.
Nothing. It's just... There's something going on in this house. Last night, I saw a face.
Did it have a nose?
Yes.
It does sound like a face.
And then there was this weird hand in the shower and this horrible thing on the stairs. I can't go through this all again.
Oh, I get it. There's some other guy. You still love him, don't you? I wish you both the best.
Wait! You don't understand. It's painful to talk about, but you deserve to know. I was married once.
Get out of the way, bitch!
Don't call me no bitch! You ain't shit!
Shut your ass up, Snowho!
She throws a bottle at hubby.
Well, actually married twice.
A boxing match.
My husband and I were living our dream.
Ladies and gentlemen, your challenger, Cindy Campbell.
She's in the ring.
Stay loose, Cindy. Remember your training, keep your focus. Always think, where's the next punch coming?
After 20 fights, I was undefeated. Only one fighter stood between me and the belt.
Got this chick. She's nothing.
Tiffany Stone!
Tiffany's actually Mike Tyson in drag. Cindy's trainer.
Cindy, listen to me. I know you're scared, but I believe in you. You can win this.
And if I do win, George, then will you tell me what my nickname means?
Yes, I promise. Okay, now, you just stick with the jab, lean with your right, watch your footwork.
Let's go!
Cindy squares up to Tiffany in the ring and plants a couple of punches on her. Tiffany takes them in her stride, then knocks Cindy to the canvas with a single blow.
You do that one more time, I'm taking a point off. You hear me?
Tiffany bites the ref's ear off.
I got it! Dude, check it out!
As soon as Cindy's on her feet, Tiffany thumps her back against the ropes.
I can't take it anymore!
Cindy's trainer throws in the towel, which lands on Cindy's head. Tiffany repeatedly whacks her in the face, then knocks her to the canvas again.
And that's when I lost my cool. I made the biggest mistake of my life.
Cindy, no!
Tiffany sees a coin.
Ooh, a nickel!
As Tiffany bends down to pick it up, Cindy takes a swing and misses. She begins to fall towards the canvas. Cindy's trainer steps into the ring and trips over one of the ropes. He falls, breaking his neck on a stool. The referee trips over a bucket and breaks his neck on one of the ropes. Tiffany's trainer steps into the ring, slips on the water from the bucket and falls backwards, breaking his neck on the edge of the ring. As a man stands in the audience, he knocks another man who breaks his neck on the back of a chair. A peanut vendor throws a bag of nuts at a woman and it breaks her neck. Tiffany bites the ears off the fallen and spits them out into a big pile of ears at the ringside.
George! No!
Back with Tom.
If I hadn't have thrown that punch, none of it would have happened. I blame myself for it all.
As well you should. But Cindy, the past is the past. Maybe you ought to think about your future.
If I'm ever going to love again, it has to be with somebody who'll be there for me.
Oh, well, I don't have a great track record in that department. Just ask my son.
I have. What's a cogmonger?
That's not really important. What matters is I've let a lot of people down. I should go.
Wait. Maybe I'm just not meant to be happy. Something about you
Makes me want to try.
They both smile and Tom steps forward. He takes Cindy in his arms and they kiss. As they do so, a wind gets up and blows stronger and stronger. The sky darkens and lightning flashes.
What's happening?
I don't know!
The neighbors look up at the sky.
Why is the sky so dark? Why is the wind moving towards the storm?
Why don't any of us have dryers?
I've never seen clouds like that before.
Lightning shoots out from clouds that look like the pulsing hemispheres of a brain. Tom and Cindy go inside, shutting Rachel out.
You okay?
Yeah.
Can you believe that thunder? That storm is so fierce. Never seen anything like it.
I haven't either.
Imagine being out there.
Rachel gets zapped.
Really close.
Don't worry. Lightning never strikes in the same place twice.
Rachel's hit again.
Where's Rachel?
I thought she was with you.
Rachel crawls in through the cat flap.
Oh, there you are.
They all hide under the kitchen table. Each time the lightning flashes, Tom starts and bangs his head.
Okay, that's it. We're fine.
That last bolt of lightning smelled like a giant turd.
Yes, the lightning. I'll go look for Robbie.
Tom looks guilty. Outside, vehicles have stopped in the street.
Turn in it again. See if it'll start.
I don't know what's going on. The car's not working. It's just not working.
Start!
A man tries to start a motorbike. A bicycle and a skateboard won't move.
My pedals have stopped moving!
Why?
How's it going, Marvin?
Just had this car working. I was dead.
Try changing the solenoid.
Good idea.
A suicide bomber.
Ah, shit.
As his bomb won't detonate, people beat him up. Tom walks over to a small crater in the road with steam rising from it. As the crater enlarges, he pulls people back from it, then realizes he's got his hands on two women's breasts and hastily removes them. His hands, that is.
Run!
Tom and the crowd stop running when they hear something moving behind them. They turn around and see a gigantic Apple iPod rise up out of the ground. The device's LCD display comes to life and says, "Tripod," then spills through a selection of songs until it comes to Awesome 80s. Tom and the crowd nod appreciatively. The tripod changes the choice to "Destroy Humanity." The device's selection disc opens and a bright light emerges. Two more lights appear on either side of it as the real tripod takes shape. It looks like a gigantic mechanical squid walking on three tentacle-like legs. As people flee, it zaps them with an intense heat ray. One woman turns to another as they run.
Beautiful outfit!
Thanks.
The woman in the outfit zapped.
Go!
Three black guys get zapped and their bling falls in a heap on the street. Cindy runs into her house and looks up the stairs. She sees the ghostly oriental boy staring down at her from the landing.
Ah! Hello? Haro?
Subtitles. Hello.
Hibachi,
do you live here?
Teriyaki.
Nagasaki, Okinawa.
Your Japanese is awful. Yokohama. It dishonors my ears.
Karate judo sumo.
Are you a
samurai?
Ghost?
Nissan. Honda,
yes, I was killed
Shibu.
And my soul walks the earth.
Harikari tsunami.
How sad. Bunch. My life is also tragic. You Nata, mistake me for someone who gives Kaya. A shit.
Minota,
I know the secret of defeating Shibu, the aliens.
Buddha, Shitake
my God, tell me. The answer Nata, is within my Yushi. Father's heart.
Sashi.
Follow the blood. The boy vanishes.
Shisu.
Wait! Cindy turns and sees some scrawly writing appear in blood on a nearby wall.
I can't read that.
It turns into a map.
That's better.
As she makes some notes, a tremor brings plaster down from the roof. Next door, Rachel is standing on a stool looking through a small window above the door.
Robbie, Dad's home!
He dashes in, sending her flying. He's covered in dust.
What is it? What's going on? Where?
Tom coughs out gobfuls of dust, then brushes it off his clothes and out of his hair. He clears his sinuses of dust, covering Rachel in it in the process.
Dad, talk to me. What's happening?
There's no time to explain.
Well, actually, that about sums it up.
Fill this up with food. We're leaving this house in 60 seconds.
Tom puts a revolver in the back of his trousers.
My ass!
He tries it down the front.
Penis! We gotta go.
They run into the chaos outside. Tom sees Cindy across the road.
Cindy!
Tom!
Where are you going?
Someone's out there. Someone who knows a way to stop all of this. Oh, you wouldn't understand.
I understand.
Come with me.
Oh, I'd like to, but my kids... Guess this is goodbye.
When this is all over, promise me that you'll find me. That you'll never forget me. That you won't give up until I'm back in your arms.
Alive?
Yes.
I promise.
He pulls her to him and they kiss.
Goodbye, Cindy.
Tom looks back.
Hey, wait! The solenoid. For luck.
He throws her the solenoid and she catches it. A burning man walks his blazing dog down the street behind her. Tom, Rachel and Robbie walk over to Marvin, the man with the car.
Marvin, put a solenoid in?
Yeah, I got one from that crackhead over there.
Get it.
Why should we? Because you're my responsibility now, and like it or not, I'm all you've got.
He shuts Rachel's foot in the door.
Hey! What are you doing?
Get in the car, Marvin.
Come on, Tom, stop joking around.
Get in the car, Marvin, or you're gonna die.
Okay, fine.
They both unlock simultaneously.
Now, wait for me to...
Still locked.
Why are you reaching for the handle at the same time?
What do you mean, reach for at the same time?
Right. On three.
You counting now?
One, two, three. Open the door,
okay? On three.
One,
two, three.
Don't do that. Now you're
still
just
locked.
Trying to annoy me. I'm going on three. One, two...
Don't count when I count. I have a problem with that.
Doing? What's the matter
Turn
with
you?
Turn
your mouth sideways. If you look at me when you're counting, I'll lose count.
Are you crazy? One, two...
Three!
Don't do it at the same time.
You said three.
You go on four.
Four.
Can you count?
So on your three or on my four?
There's only one three.
I'm trying to get in the car.
Well, then you do it on four. No, I count
you
to three.
You said three, so wait, so are you doing it on three or am I doing it on two?
Sick!
I heard
three.
If you
count three,
I know
you have to do it on four.
Now it's four.
Why would you go on four?
You gave me four at first and you stole
my four.
Yeah, but
I have to count to three first.
You stole my four, Tom.
Let me say three.
I gotta wait on you now, huh? You want the black man to wait again?
You can do whatever you want.
Well, that's what I've been doing the whole time.
Why would you do that? Why would you reach for it when I say three? That's what all this is about.
Okay, do I still go on four?
Listen, when I say three, you don't have to worry about four. You got all the time in the world. You can go home, you can watch television and come back, and then open the door.
Fine.
One.
No. No one. I'm out. No thank you. Or I'll take the next one. Does that work for you? Jesus.
Attitude.
Tom drives off.
Seriously? I'd rather be dead.
He's zapped. But at school...
A girl had a pet duck. She fed and took care of her pet duck. But one day the duck got loose and ran away from the girl. The duck ran down the road and kept running until he found a pond.
Mr. President, we've just received word the planet is under attack by aliens.
Okay.
Sir, they've already wiped out some of our cities. If nothing is done, they'll kill us all.
I see. Well, I'll handle that in a minute. But right now, I need to find out what's happening with the duck.
Sir, with each passing moment, more people will die.
The people are going to die regardless. But this duck still has a fighting chance.
I've read the story before, Mr. President. The duck dies.
The president spits milk.
My God! That's horrible!
Mr. President, the aliens were under attack.
You mean right now all of these children's parents could be dead?
The kids gag on milk.
Kids! Kids, please! It's not as bad as it seems. They didn't die alone. I'm sure they died with all the other people you love.
Even Santa Claus?
No, of course not. There's no such thing as Santa Claus.
The kids run around in a panic.
Just like the Tooth Fairy, completely made up. Easter Bunny never existed. The female orgasm. Wait and see what happens when you try to find it. What's wrong? Your parents all getting divorces? I can give them a little advice if you like. Oh, I forgot, they're all dead. Now let's go on to another story. Rumpelforskin.
Stilskin, sir. We have to get you to the White House.
I just don't get kids. Remind me to sign that abortion bill.
Yes, sir.
The president and his aide leave the classroom. Cindy walks past some broken and wrecked vehicles in a car park. She passes the smouldering remains of an aircraft from which cabin crew are seeing their remaining passengers off.
You may leave through the forward exit doors or the gaping hole in the side of the plane. We realize you have a choice in airlines, and we appreciate you flying with Southern Coast Air. Thank you.
Hello?
A drinks trolley slides off the plane and hits her.
Hey! That's mine! I found it!
Cindy?
Brenda?
Oh my God! It's been so long!
Yeah, too long. I thought you were dead.
Oh, I thought you were dead too.
What are you doing here? Were you on this plane?
No, I'm trying to get a good story. I'm a reporter now. I work for the local news.
Wow, you're really doing well for yourself.
I was on assignment. Take a look at this. Here's Detroit. And here's Detroit after the attack.
The same, but with tripods.
The attack was devastating. It's over, Cindy. Humanity has lost the war.
No, no, there's still hope. I have reason to believe that there's someone here that has the answers. Maybe even a way for us to fight back. Come on, make a great story.
Maybe. But how are we supposed to get there? None of these cars work.
Wait, see if this works.
The solenoid, a guy in a convertible.
Hey! I got the line for the car, New York! This is our road, bitches!
Brenda throws the solenoid at him and knocks him out.
You're right, Cindy. That worked pretty well.
Brenda and Cindy drive along in the convertible until they're stopped by a soldier. A column of displaced people crosses the road behind him.
Look at all the injured. It's so sad.
Big-ass rat, man. Oh, so it took the everything.
Man, I'm going to need a hot bath after all that.
What the hell happened here?
CJ and Mahalik have emerged from a manhole. They see the injured.
Zombie! Damn!
Mahalik hits a bloke with a spanner. CJ zaps another.
Don't let him bite you!
Good news! They can still feel electricity!
Grandma? The zombies have got my grandma!
Mahalik throws Granny down the manhole and puts the cover on it.
That woman raised me from birth!
At night, Tom drives the car through a column of displaced people walking down a road.
Hey, he's got a car! He's got a car!
Give him the car! Get the keys!
This isn't my car. I would, but I can't. It's not my car. It's not my car.
Don't worry, kids. The doors are locked. There's no possible way they can kill the robot out of chocolate. But that's just common sense. Go, waiter.
Tom's dragged out of the car.
Kids!
He fires his pistol in the air, bringing down a hang glider.
Why?
Well.
Get back! Get back!
Give me the gun. I'm taking the car.
What do I do about him?
A knifeman.
I don't want the car. I just need a gun.
No way I'm giving up the gun. I want the car.
So, you need a gun, and you want a car.
What do you want?
Well, I've never owned a knife.
Okay, let's all switch on three. One, two, three.
The knifeman gets the car.
Is this right?
I don't think so.
Tom's got a crossbow.
Dad, we're taking the car.
Yes, well, let's keep going.
What? That's it. You're giving up.
Yeah, that's right. I'm giving up. You want a hero? Go find someone else.
Why?
He shot the hang glider.
Let's go.
At the White House.
Now, let me get this straight. The girl hugged the duck, and then it dies?
Mr. President, the nation is under attack.
Get me Homeland Security.
You mean Homeland Security.
Sir. This woman was an eyewitness to one of the attacks.
What can you tell us?
They're indestructible. The clothing was burned off everyone's bodies. There were naked people everywhere.
Were you naked?
No.
Thank God. Some good news at last.
Get her a souvenir.
Now with the roof up, Cindy and Brenda drive down a deserted country road, Cindy at the wheel. Brenda's asleep and Cindy looks very tired. She struggles to stay awake and sips coffee from a paper cup. As that doesn't do the trick, she tips the coffee over her head. As she steams away, Brenda stirs.
Look, Kim. Look, Kim got my sandwich. Look out, Russell Crowe's got a phone! R. Kelly, don't pee on me! My lovely lady lumps!
She wakes.
Where are we?
I'm not sure. But I think we're close. It's supposed to be near mile 62.
Is something wrong?
No, it's just... I met this guy. And I wonder if he's safe. Oh, you'd love him, Brenda.
What's his name? I might have already loved him.
Tom Ryan?
Yep, did him. Big fat Chinese guy?
No. But he is the kind of guy that I'd like to share the rest of my life with.
The ghost boy appears in the window. They stop.
Cindy! Look!
A mile 62 sign. Brenda and Cindy get out of the car and look through a hedge. They see a village with people in 19th century dress.
What is this place?
I don't know. But the boy's father's somewhere in there. We'll have to sneak our way in.
But we're not going to blend in dressed like this.
Brenda, look.
They see two women in period costume walk by. Cindy and Brenda then pull the women into the hedge. The women step back out of the hedge. Battered and beaten, Cindy and Brenda hobble out after them. They see some clothes in a washing basket by a well and nod. A few minutes later, they emerge from around the side of a house, dressed in the period clothes. The speaker, a blind woman with a stick, finds Ezekiel tearing up leaves.
Ezekiel, shall we have a foot race?
No cheating.
They run off and the blind woman smacks into a tree. Ezekiel runs into the side of a house. Brenda and Cindy exchange a troubled glance. They creep on through the village and find the residents sitting down at a long table having a meal. Two pigs in the act of coitus have been roasted for the occasion. Cindy spots a handsome bearded man sitting at the table.
That's him. He's cute.
Friends, do not fear the noise of those of whom we do not speak. There is a gentle truce between our village and the creatures beyond their borders.
Now, who would like to say grace? Ezekiel.
Pip-pip vagina!
Ezekiel puts a bowl of porridge on his head and sits back down.
Amen.
Two hooded men grab Cindy and Brenda. The blind woman accidentally hits the bearded man in the balls with her stick.
Father?
Holly. For what purpose do you interrupt the celebration of the domestic partnership of Mordecai and Haas?
The guards cut two outsiders near the cabin.
Henry, the bearded man, talks to Cindy and Brenda in a room in the village courthouse.
Who are you?
I must speak with you. I was sent by your son.
Don't be ridiculous. I have no son.
That's not true. I know who you are. I've seen the pictures.
I was young. I needed the work.
No, in Mrs. Norris's house.
I didn't know whose house it was. They drugged me. Never mind that. You're outsiders. The council will decide your fates.
Henry presides in a packed courtroom.
The question of the outsiders is now at hand.
But first, Martha, have you some tidings?
Nathaniel Winston and Alice Smith have informed me of their intentions. He intends to have sex with her as soon as possible. She intends to put up a mild fight and then give in.
A man makes eyes at Brenda and she smiles. Ezekiel looks at Cindy, a bogey hanging from his nose.
Amos, something does trouble you?
We now have a majority of those who wish to say I am instead of I am.
I'm for that. I am against it.
Silence! We have more important matters to discuss. I fear that the presence of the outsiders will attract those of whom we do not speak.
If you talk about those of whom we do not speak, have you not spoken of that about which we do not talk?
Do not speak of that of about which we talk of not speaking.
out.
Ezekiel sniffs Cindy's armpit. Brenda makes let's get it on gestures to the young man looking at her. He gets to his feet and speaks.
Elder Hale, we should welcome the outsiders among us.
Jeremiah, ought not your tongue be held?
I am sorry, Elder Hale. But sometimes my tongue wiggles beyond my ability to control it.
Brenda stands.
This is a problem with which I have had much experience. Maybe I could help him in a room in which there are no others.
Jeremiah nods.
Or you can all watch. I don't give a shit.
Everyone looks shocked. Cindy looks down and finds Ezekiel humping her leg.
After this, how about you take your thing of which we do not speak and slide it up in my place in which I like.
Silence. The elders will consult.
Henry sits down and talks to the woman next to him. The blind woman comes in and takes off her dress, revealing a basque and sexy underwear beneath. The woman lifts up the lid of a wooden chest, mistaking it for a loo. She drops her pants, sits down, and lets rip. She looks up, surprised.
I'm not in my house, am I?
No.
She gets up.
Outsiders, we have decided to let you stay with us so that you'll be safe from those of whom we do not...
Or don't.
Speak. But now that you are a part of our village, understand this. You may never leave.
No! No! How did your son die? The fate of the world is at stake.
You know what to do.
Was it you? Did you kill him?
This is some shit up with which we will not put!
Time for that.
I am against it.
Cindy and Brenda are taken out as the two gay men snog.
This village isn't what it used to be.
At the UN.
Just hours after the devastating alien attack, world leaders have gathered at the United Nations. In this, mankind's darkest hour, the human race has turned as one to the wisdom and leadership of the President of the United States.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States.
Well, get him, Tiger.
They mean you, sir.
Oh, yes, of course.
The President steps up to the podium and looks at the rows of expectant faces from around the world that are sitting in front of him.
So, an Indian, a Frenchman, and the Pope are all on a plane. The pilot says, hey, are any of you not circumcised? So the Pope lifts up his robe and says, shut up, stupid. You don't even speak English. The Israeli asks the Japanese guy to open his eyes, but the Japanese man says, I'm not squinting, you crazy Jew. You're the one who sold me these cheap glasses. What's the difference between a Belgian and a lump of dog shit? The Belgian drinks wine, but the dog shit smells good.
The Belgian ambassador is not amused.
On a serious note, I'm here today at the UN because the Earth has been attacked. I'm happy to report that we may have found a way to fight back. My military advisors at the Pentagram have managed to do the impossible. They have captured one of the alien heat ray guns. As you know, the heat ray destroys the body, leaving behind nothing but clothes. Our engineers have managed to reverse the polarity of the weapon in the hopes that it can now be turned against the alien invaders.
The President absently puts a glass of water on the fire switch of the weapon. It zaps him, leaving him in the nude.
Now, where was it? Oh, yes. We expect that the alien shields will be vulnerable to this reconfigured weapon.
People, please.
He steps out from the podium.
Please, people.
Now, I know that this new technology may seem frightening, but I believe that deep down inside, this heat cannon is our best chance. Let me give you a demonstration.
He bends over.
Now let's see if this thing plug in.
Everyone winces.
It's not a very pretty sight. Everything's loose and flapping around. Look at this little pink thing.
As he squats down, everyone can see up his arse. A Moroccan throws up and a Japanese man commits hari-kari.
Come on, get some lubricant and we'll slather around in here.
He inadvertently switches the alien weapon on again and it zaps the clothes off all the people in the audience. The president looks round and is bemused to see the naked throng. He turns to an aide.
Harper! Good God, these people are all naked! Have you no shame? Have you no decency?
Sir, you're naked too!
I am? I thought this was a wrinkly leather coat.
Sir!
These aren't buttons?
No!
I've been pulling this thing up and down like a zipper.
Mr. President, please.
There goes that duck again.
Refugees walk through the night. One picks a sprig from a plant and shows it to another guy.
Yo, man, see this red weed?
Nope.
Dad, how much further till Mom's?
I don't know. I'm not sure how much longer I can carry your sister.
I've been walking this entire time.
Then who the hell is...
Okay, you.
Stay close, Rachel.
Dad, look!
Tripods.
Hey, you guys! I want to help!
Tommy!
No.
Tom to Rachel.
Don't move! For God's sake, stay right there! I'll be right back!
Hey! Hey, you guys! No, I want to help!
He's hit by a bazooka's backdraft.
Awesome!
Wait! Are you crazy?
No! You'll pay for half my college!
Soldiers die.
Kick ass!
Bobby!
A severed limb.
What's the matter with you?
Hey, look at that guy! This is so cool!
He runs towards the fighting.
Robbie! Robbie!
Tom realizes he's holding a severed hand and drops it. He turns and calls.
Rachel! Rachel!
Little girl, are you alone?
Jacko.
You need to come with me. I'll keep you safe, right, kids? Do you have a little brother?
Get away from her!
The tripods come closer.
Run away, kids! Toward the tripod if you have to!
Don't go. I got a Ferris wheel and a chip and a big soft bed. We can all get in it.
Jacko zapped, regressing him through Bad and Thriller until he's black again.
Not my real face! Not my real face!
His phony nose is all that's left. Tom and Rachel see a man holding a shotgun.
Safety.
Someone hits him.
Follow me to safety.
I don't know about this.
Trust me, I'm an excellent judge of character.
Tom has a quick look at the second man who knocked out the first man and heads towards him. The second man, Oliver, wears a hoodie. At the village, Cindy walks past a watchtower. One of the hooded guards patrols nearby. Cindy runs into a house and finds Brenda apparently wanking Jeremiah off. As she steps further inside, all is revealed.
That's it. Oh, Brenda, yes! You did it!
You have learned quickly and produced splendid butter. Are you sure you have not churned before?
Well, we don't call it churning where I come from.
Outside, Ezekiel is amongst the panicking villagers. He runs into the bell and knocks himself out. Cindy and Brenda step outside and see two sinister red hooded figures. Ezekiel gets back up and knocks himself out again. Cindy and Brenda go in a house.
Quick! Into the cellar!
No!
It's Jeremiah.
This is the cellar. That's the cesspool.
Damn it!
As Brenda and Cindy hide behind a piece of furniture, the red hooded figures come in. They have long nails and spines protruding from their backs. One of the creatures sneezes, and the other hands it a tissue. Hearing Cindy, they spin round and make spooky gestures.
Hey! You're not monsters!
They're unmasked.
Old Lady Henderson and Pig-Faced Joe.
He does look like a pig. Cindy and Brenda run to another house.
What happened?
It is Henry. He has suffered a heart attack brought on by this knife.
Stuck in his chest.
Who did this?
It was Ezekiel.
Henry, you need a hospital. It's not too late. We can help you.
Perhaps you could start by not leaning on the knife.
Do not be concerned for him, Cindy. We have sent our most qualified villager for medicines.
Henry looks out of the window and sees Holly, the blind woman, running through the trees. A wider view reveals she's just running around in circles. Henry lies back.
I am so dead. Please, leave me alone with Cindy and Brenda. I have much to tell them. Listen carefully to me. I am not long for this world.
Pussy.
Brenda!
What?
Fizzy sick, I shot 9 times. She's still walking around.
Tell me, Henry, who killed the boy? Was it you?
No, I loved him and his mother very much. I should have been with him when he died. It was horrible.
What happened? You must tell me.
They went to a boxing match. It was a women's championship title fight. And there was a terrible accident.
Oh, my God.
Cindy thinks back to her match with Tiffany. In her mind's eye, she sees the boy, not yet a ghost, at the ringside. Don King loses his balance and falls.
Only in America!
Crushing the boy to death.
All this time I've been searching for his killer. When it was me, Brenda, it was all my fault. Henry, your son told me that if I found his killer, I would know how to defeat the aliens.
And he was right. Don't you see? All you have to do is...
Ezekiel pushes the knife in further.
Who the hell let his ass out of jail?
His brother, the sheriff.
A spaz with a badge appears.
Fucking A.
Henry snuffs it. Oliver, Tom and Rachel are in the basement of a ruined building.
There you go, sweetie.
We're gonna die, aren't we?
Hey, nothing's gonna happen to you. I haven't lost anyone yet.
You've lost Robbie.
Except Robbie. None of that matters right now. What's important is that I'm here with you. Try and get some sleep, okay?
Sing you lullaby and good night.
I don't know that.
Sing me Hush by Mountain.
I'm sorry, Rachel. I don't know that one either.
Dischuffed, Rachel turns away from him. Tom looks down awkwardly.
You want this money, then you gotta be a bad bitch. Shake that ass for a tip if you a bad bitch. Drop down to the floor if you a bad bitch. Oh no, she ain't no hoe. She a bad bitch.
Unimpressed, Rachel pretends to be asleep. Tom goes over to Oliver.
Hey, come on in. Have a seat.
Name's Oliver.
Tom Ryan.
I found this place. Plenty of food. Along with 2 freshly killed busybodies upstairs who owned the place. We could stay here forever.
You afraid?
Of course I'm afraid.
I'm not. I've been around death plenty. I used to drive an ambulance in the city. But apparently I wasn't a very strong driver. It seems I was killing more people than I was saving. Something about that siren got me excited. Wham! Carnage.
But this is different. This is a war.
No. It's an extermination. It's no more of a war than there's a war between men and maggots, or dragons and wolves, or... men riding dragons, throwing wolves at maggots. Damn it, Tom, can't you understand what I'm trying to tell you? These aliens must have a weakness. I heard that the Japs killed a few of them over in Kikkoman.
Kikkoman, that's soy sauce.
Right, yeah, low sodium. What I'm trying to say, Tom, is that you and I should be fighting these things. It's us that should be coming up from under the ground. Of course, we'll have to bury ourselves first, but it'll be worth it. Cool breeze, no sunblock, worms. When we build our tripods... they'll have 4 legs. I gotta show you something.
He pulls an air vent off the wall.
We'll tunnel up from behind and scare the piss out of them.
Oliver bites a mouthful of soil from the vent and spits it out.
Wish we had some shovels, don't you?
A snake-like mechanical alien probe pokes its way into the cellar. Rachel opens her eyes and sees it. Tom, Oliver and Rachel all hide behind the sofa as the probe moves through the room. The probe examines a copy of FHM magazine it finds on the floor, then moves on to a second gay mag called Inches, featuring 2 nude men on the cover. Rachel and Tom regard Oliver suspiciously. The probe turns away from them and finds a vacuum cleaner. It begins humping the Hoover. Rachel and Tom go and hide behind a mirror. The probe approaches the mirror and looks at its reflection. As it's doing so, Oliver walks up to it with an axe. Tom signals he shouldn't hit it. Oliver doesn't get it, so Tom signs as if playing a game of charades. Oliver still doesn't get it. Tom scribbles on a pad, but his pen doesn't work. He's about to try again when Rachel's grabbed by a tripod's tentacle.
Rachel!
Tom runs outside.
Rachel! Rachel!
The tripod extends another tentacle and picks Tom up as well. In the village, Cindy and Brenda, now back in their own clothes, step out of a house.
What's the secret, Brenda? What am I missing?
Oh, please! More fake monsters?
They turn around and see one of the tripods towering over them. It extends two tentacles and picks them up. The tentacles put them in a holding cage full of people under the main body of the machine. In the cage, Cindy finds Tom.
I promised I'd find you, didn't I?
They kiss. As the tripod lurches about, Tom and Cindy get separated and Tom ends up kissing another woman who's wearing specs. She slaps him.
Where are we? What is this?
Some kind of basket attached to the tripod. Jesus!
I know, it's horrible. Why? What are the aliens gonna do to us?
I don't know, but they're taking everyone. Young, old, rich, poor, Chingy.
Chingy is in a VIP area of the holding cage with his entourage. A tentacle comes out of the machine and grabs Rachel.
Rachel!
Cindy grabs hold of Rachel, then Tom grabs hold of Cindy. All three of them are lifted off the ground and pulled into the main body of the tripod through an entrance that looks a lot like an arse. Cindy opens her eyes in a dark room.
Am I dead?
You're not dead.
A light comes on. Cindy's in a changing room with Brenda. They're both chained up and both have their heads in bear traps.
Hey! Could be worse.
Tom has a crossbow strapped to his bum.
You want to switch?
Okay. Brenda, look!
Dead shack.
I don't believe it! The aliens killed the dinosaur!
She picks up one of Shaq's oversized bones.
Hello, humans. Welcome to the inside of the command tripod.
Where's Rachel? What have you done with my daughter?
All in good time, Tom. But first, I want to play a game. The devices you wear will trigger in 60 seconds. The switch on the wall behind Cindy will disable them. But where is the key? I'll give you a hint, Cindy. Let the game begin.
I don't get it.
Okay, maybe this will help you see.
The key was shown in a skull's eye socket. A strong box pops out of the wall containing a scalpel.
You want me to cut something?
That should be obvious, yes.
She makes to cut her hand.
No.
She makes to stab Brenda.
No! Ugh, the key is behind your eye, okay?
As Cindy moves the scalpel towards her eye, the masked figure calls to another.
Zoltar, get in here! This one's gonna do it!
Another masked figure joins the first on the TV. Cindy pops her eye.
Big eye. Bad bar fight 96.
She turns the key in the lock, releasing them all from the deadly devices. Tom walks over to Cindy as she puts her fake eye back in. It goes in on the wonk.
Oh, I hope this doesn't come between us.
Of course not.
He prods her eye to set it straight and they hug. Brenda has the crossbow.
Is it too late for me to try this on?
Silence! The game is not yet over.
A hatch in the ceiling opens.
Rachel!
Daddy!
Bobby!
Rachel and Robbie are lowered from the ceiling on a chain towards a pit of rotating spikes in the floor.
The only thing keeping your children alive, Tom, is you.
Well, we had a good run.
The chain is released and Tom grabs the end of it, holding the kids above the pit.
Ha! You weren't expecting that, were you?
On the contrary, I was counting on it.
A machine with whirling blades and syringes rises up from the floor in front of Tom.
I call it the Nutcracker.
Why?
A mechanized boot in the balls.
Of course!
Cindy looks over at a toilet with a heart drawn on the cistern and has a flashback of the ghost boy. The answer is within my father's heart. Cindy steps over to the loo and fishes some photos of the masked killer with the boy's mum out of the pan.
The blood. And it was a stepdad. You're the little boy's real father.
Where did you even meet her?
It was spring break in Cabo. So what? I blended in. Seriously, who gives a crap?
What's this?
The machine tweaks Tom's nipples.
Enjoy your purple nurple, Tom.
It stretches his nipples like elastic.
Please, your son wouldn't want this. His soul walks the earth because of the pain you're
No! I have crossed the galaxy for revenge.
But it's my fault. Let the others go.
Oh, I don't think so. Look upon him as he writhes.
Hey, Cindy! Look! I'm on TV, y'all! Check it out! I want to give a shout-out to all my peeps! Have you lost your mind?
No one!
Headshots! Zoltar, help! This is some bullshit!
I know you hold a grudge against humanity for your son's death, but...
Oh, Wet Willy!
Killing us won't bring your little boy back!
No, you will all pay for what you have done. Besides, I've already built this thing.
A spiked crusher.
When the trap closes on you, it will lock the chain in place. Your children will be saved, but you will suffer a terrible death. Can you hang on to the ones you love? You have 60 seconds.
It closes on Tom.
Don't worry, kids. I won't quit on you.
It's okay to let go, Dad. All you ever had to do was show that you loved me.
And show me what it means to be a man.
And show me that I could love again.
We forgive you, Dad.
Tom closes his eyes as the spikes draw ever closer to him. The masked killer, now back in charge after Brenda's invasion of his control room, switches the spiked crushing machine off.
The spikes! They stop!
Tom and the children are released.
Kids!
Daddy!
They all hug and the killer rides in on a tricycle.
Are you sparing our lives?
Anyone can hold a grudge, but it takes real courage to forgive. The invasion is over.
And?
And I guess I'm sorry or something. I don't know.
Like you mean it.
Okay. I'm sorry for killing millions of people. Whatever.
Wait, where's Brenda?
She comes in with the other masked killer.
What? We're at peace now. I was just sealing the deal.
They head out.
Come on, Brenda, let's go. Where's Zoltar? Don't lose my number!
Zoltar scratches his crotch.
Tell me you didn't catch something.
Nah, it's cool. She said she was a virgin.
We are so fucked.
As the tripods march down a city street, they sway unsteadily and fall. Robbie, Cindy, Brenda and Tom, carrying Rachel in his arms, walk along a street towards a house. Marilyn comes out of the house and Rachel runs into her arms.
Mommy!
Robbie runs over to Marilyn, who looks gratefully over at Tom.
Thank you.
An old man comes out of the house.
Hey, look, kids, Grandpa!
Marilyn scowls.
No, that's my new husband.
Tom and Cindy look a bit uneasy as Marilyn and the old codger kiss enthusiastically.
Oh, I think it's romantic. The way love can find anyone.
Tom and Cindy kiss.
And so, love triumphed in the end. And the invaders were destroyed. For this world, our world, is the world of man. We have earned the right to live here. And as long as we love, humanity will prevail. Each of our enemies has failed in their quest to defeat us. Each has been undone by their own nefarious plans. Among all worlds, across all galaxies, we stand above, we stand alone. None can threaten our existence. None can challenge our spirit. And why? Of all the qualities that make us unique, it is love that is our greatest strength. And because of love, mankind...
The narrator is run over by a bus. Oprah.
Thank you. Hello, and welcome to the show. We have got a very special man with some very special news. That's right, he's in the building. The man who saved the world. Put your hands together for Tom Ryan. Yes. My best friend.
Tom and Oprah hug, then sit on the sofa. Tom gets up and delightedly punches the air a couple of times, then spins round. He overbalances and falls awkwardly back against the sofa. He picks himself up and sits down.
Wow.
That's it? Okay.
So, you're in love.
I am. I'm in love.
He enthusiastically slaps his thigh. Tom punches the air again and makes like a chicken before sitting back down.
Whoa! You are adorable when you are in love.
Thank you.
Tell us all about her.
She's great. She's really terrific. So it's complicated.
Yeah, you were saying that she's complex, I guess. Yeah.
Shut up.
He socks Oprah one on the jaw. She hits him back and they trade blows until Tom punches himself in the face.
I'm so happy. Hey, look! Whoa!
Tom sticks his head up Oprah's dress.
Okay, you've got balls.
He pretends to shag Oprah, then pausing only to punch the air, takes his shoe off, puts it on the sofa, and pretends to shag that too.
I love Cindy Campbell! I can jump on things!
He jumps up on the sofa and falls straight off the back of it, then runs around pretending he's an aeroplane. He flick-flacks across the studio, then swings back on a rope before returning to the sofa, ripping it open and eating the stuffing out of it.
Okay, isn't Cindy here? I know she's here. Cindy, I know you're in the building.
Cindy!
Bring her out right
here. I love this woman! I love this woman!
Tom grabs Cindy from the wings and throws her across the studio. He clasps Oprah's hands a bit too hard, first of all breaking her fingers back, then snapping her wrists. As she gawps at her broken hands, he hits her with a chair and runs into the camera. ITFC audio description by John Walskill.